Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Sid, Victory Fellowship Church. We're up at the house this evening at Victory. I'm here with my good friend Marty Smith, and we're going to do a podcast and just share some things that God's stirring on our heart and all of that. So we're going to have dialogue together and just sort of release some stuff to you guys. So hopefully it'll be a huge blessing for you. Marty is, he and his wife Krista are the founders of Project World Missions, and they do amazing work down in the nation of Honduras, and we feel so fortunate that God connected us with Marty and Krista, I guess probably a year and a half ago, and we just immediately felt a connection with them and for the people of that country. And just excited about what God's doing and what he's going to do. And, you know, everything's looked and felt different this year. But we know God's, as Marty said a while ago, God's still working and God's still moving, even though we're on pause. But we want to link a few thoughts together and just hit some things I think will really bless you and challenge you. I told Marty, as I said a while ago, Marty, just jump in at any point, brother, and we'll just bounce back and forth on things, just real informal here tonight. I want to kind of come in and start talking about a faith that explores. The early this year, the Lord gave me a word. One of the words that he gave me and Lori were faith that explores. That 2020 was going to be a year of faith that explores. And I thought it was going to be, I thought I knew what that meant. Lori and I are very adventurous. We're always looking, what's next? What's the next big adventure? What's the next big trip and all that stuff? And so I could just, in my mind, I could see God carrying us to, you know, maybe some mountain, you know, mountain tribes and villages down in Honduras that people haven't been going to, you know, maybe carrying us to other countries. You know, I've kind of got in my heart, I want to go to Mongolia and to Nepal and some of these places. And, you know, so I could just see God starting to do some of that stuff, setting some of that in motion. But recently the Lord's been giving me some real clarity to what he meant by faith that explores. And instead of it being a natural exploration that would be infused with supernatural kingdom stuff, instead it's a more internal exploration on the faith that explores. And God's carrying us into a journey to explore his heart, his mind. And this journey into the heart of the Father has been going on for with us for a couple years now. Just really started amping up with a lot of revelation that he was giving to some great spiritual fathers in the faith, you know, Bill Johnson and Damon Thompson, and what he was doing in our hearts that, you know, God was not viewed as judge, but he was viewed as our Father. And, you know, that he was a God of love. You and I both, Marty, we grew up with, you know, the teaching of sinners in the hands of angry God. Right. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and he's the judge, and Jesus is my advocate, and Jesus is there to appease the wrath of the judge. You know, and every time God wants to smack me, Jesus would hold up his nail-scarred hands and say, "Father, don't, because here's my scars and here's my blood."
That's right.
And that caused us to incorrectly view the Father, and in turn incorrectly view ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so God's carried us on this journey into this for the last, God, I'd say 2 years. I know in this house it's been for the last couple years. To where we have are understanding the heart of the Father toward us, that he's his nature, he's a good God, he's a loving God, he pursues us, and we're not sinners in the hands of an angry God, but we are we're redeemed sons in the arms of a loving Father.
Amen.
And when I begin to view him like that, then I begin to view myself differently. And so I think this part of this faith that explores, this journey is not new to 2020, but it's been going on. I know you and Krista have been on a similar journey with that. If you want to jump in and just kind of throw something in on that before I move to the next thing on this.
Well, we're free to approach Him. It's not that we are afraid of Him, that He freely gives us all things. And it's not a rod and a staff. It's a loving heart, and it's an invitation in to know His heart and to the depths of who He is and who He's created us to be. And it's not just a sin management lifestyle. It's a pursuit of Him as He pursues me. And it's just intimacy. And out of that intimacy comes a lifestyle of wanting to please Him, just simply out of that, not out of obligation, but it's just a desire. It's intimacy, right?
Right. Amen. Yeah, definitely. And as we were talking earlier and have, you know, for the past couple of years been looking at, it changes our view of ourselves. We correctly see ourselves.
Absolutely.
And as we begin to correctly see ourselves, it takes the shape of the scripture in Romans that says that the servant and the heir differeth none at all as long as the heir is in a place of immaturity. They're taught by the same tutors and all of this. But one day the light bulb goes off and the heir says, "Hey man, I'm an heir.
Right.
And I'm not a servant."
No.
And so I think that's beginning to take shape and take place in the kingdom right now. And out of that, people have a freedom to approach their faith journey in a different way. You know, the word says for us to boldly approach the throne of grace.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and as we begin to understand that I am a son, you know, Esther could boldly approach the throne, even though the rod had to be extended, because she was the favored wife.
Right.
And when she understood that I'm the favored wife of all the concubines he had, I'm the favored wife.
Right.
And so that gave her the boldness to approach the throne out of a place of mercy and love,
right,
and positional relationship. So it's changing our approach to the Father. And with that being said, I think the next phase of this faith that explores, that we're just now starting to embark on, is for us to come in and to begin to journey into the mind of the Father.
Mm.
And that is a... That's a place of a big leap of faith, at least for me. You know, that here I am, I know my frailties, I know my shortcomings, I know my sins, I know the junk in my life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and the fact that to man, I'm not a spiritual giant or anything like that. How could I dare come and approach the journey into the mind of God? But I really believe that's the next phase, and I believe there's two steps in this. And I believe the first step in this is journeying into the will of the Father, and that's easier. That's more clear to us, because as I rightly see myself as a beloved son, then all of a sudden I begin to understand what His will is for me as a beloved son.
Yeah.
And it's not sin management, like you said.
Yeah.
It's being what He has created me to be. The scripture that I gave a word out of a couple of weeks ago is in Lamentations 1:9, and it said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the folly of Israel was that they did not consider their future.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, therefore their fall was great. And what it was saying was that they did not consider what they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They were not consider what they were created to be, what they positionally as the tribe of Judah, positionally what they had access to and opportunity for. And when we understand the fact that I am beloved, then I understand, you know what? Not only do I have the right to become a kingdom man and walk as a kingdom man, but there is the expectation for
Absolutely.
Me to be a kingdom man.
Absolutely.
I've got certain expectations for my daughters, even though they're grown. I've got expectations for my daughter, the will of the Father, and it's, you know, that they're supposed to act a certain way, and they're supposed to carry themselves a certain way, and there's certain things that I expect them to, you know, to pursue and to press into and all that. And if they don't, then I'm going to say, man, you know, we're going to have a talk.
Right.
And I know you're the same way with your daughters.
Absolutely.
But going in, we get this, the will of the Father, you know, coming in and beginning to understand that, because, you know, as we understand who we are as heirs, then we're like, okay, now I have not only the right, but the expectation to be a kingdom man. Now I have the right and the expectation to be this amazing husband. Now I have the right and the expectation to be an amazing father. I have the right and the expectation to be an amazing grandfather. I have the right and the expectation to be a spiritual father over those that God's placed under us. You know, and that's all of us. He says that we're a nation of kings and priests.
That's right.
That's His will for us. And so now understanding who we are, rightly seeing Him, therefore rightly seeing ourselves, now we can consider our future and we can begin to walk into that will. And so that's
good.
That's I'll be honest with you, that's pretty basic for us. Here's where it gets exciting to me and where I want to start branching out into some of the things I really want to draw you into is this journey in the mind of the Father. It goes beyond even the will of the Father, and I believe it gets into a place where we're journeying into the dreams of the Father. Because that is a whole new level. It's when we come in and we begin to go into this thing of what are God's dreams for me. Because I can have a will that my daughters understand, all right? And I'll use this in a physical term. They understand what the will of the Father is, and that's for them to be Proverbs 31 women. They're supposed to be godly women. They're supposed to be godly mothers. They're supposed to be good wives. They're supposed to be, they're supposed to be followers of Christ. They're supposed to be, they're diligent in being productive in life and all of that stuff.
Right.
But they understand that. But until they really start tapping in, that there are dreams that I have for them that go way beyond the will.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father has dreams for us that go way beyond our dreams. A while ago, we talked about a couple examples in the Bible that I brought up earlier on the interruption of dreams. Was Joseph. You know, when Joseph was dreaming as a young man, he was dreaming that his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. His father was actually going to be bowing down to him. And, of course, his brothers thought that was the most audacious dream in the world. He was arrogant and all this stuff, so much so that they sold him into slavery. But as big a dream as that was, which was Joseph's dream, as big a dream as that was, God had an even bigger dream because God came in and said, you're going to be the second, only under Pharaoh, of the most powerful nation on the planet. You are going to be in charge of managing these 7 years of harvest so that the whole world can survive.
Yes, absolutely.
And that dream was way bigger than anything that Joseph could fathom. I thought about David also. You know, David was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel. He slew Goliath. I mean, he did these things, yet he spent these years running from King Saul. He spent these years hiding in the caves of Adullam. And he's sitting there and his dreams are interrupted because he's like, man, I'm supposed to be on the throne of Egypt.
Right.
But God had a dream for him that was way bigger than just sitting on the throne sitting on the throne of Israel.
Right.
God had a dream much bigger. David, in no way could he even imagine that one day people would call Jesus the Son of David.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
And so I believe this journey into the dreams of God are so much bigger than even the journey into the will of God. That's where it gets where eye is not seen and ear is not heard. And I want to hit just a couple verses of Scripture and share a couple things, and then I really want to pump in and get you going on some stuff with the interrupted dreams, with Project World and in your life personally and all that stuff. This interruption of dreams, I feel like, is often necessary. And the Scripture that the Lord has just been messing me up on for a little over a week now is found in Hebrews 11, and it's verse 3. And it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. And then he comes in and says something right here. It said, He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Now, the Apostle Paul, he says that all of mankind can see the glory of God just by looking out in nature.
Right.
And so I am convinced by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Genesis, it said the earth was void and without form. But then when and it said the Spirit brooded over the face of the earth. But then as God began to speak, things began to give birth. The earth began to spring forth with life. Things began to give birth. In this it says the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. And so what the Lord's really been speaking to me on is that there has got to be an impregnation that takes place. It took place in the invisible realm. What God had, before He spoke and anything gave birth, God impregnated it with His essence. That's when it birthed and the beauty came forth and all of mankind can see the glory of God by looking at the tree. It's because His essence was in the invisible realm before it gave birth to everything that we see and know.
It was already there.
Yes, that's it. It was already there. And in Genesis, the same thing. That was the purpose of the Spirit brooding over the face of the waters and brooding over the face of the earth, is there was an impregnation that was taking place of the essence of the Father, the beauty of the Father, the glory of the Father. And then when the Word came forth, it simply activated what was already in there. Okay? And so I believe when we come in this journey of faith, and we've been teaching hard on the will of God, you know, as far as being kingdom men and all this stuff. But there is a quantum leap, I believe, into going into this place of the dreams of God for our lives and concerning our lives. You know, the Word says, eyes not seen and ears not heard. I used to think, you know, well, man, that's talking about just crazy manifestations. 20 years ago, it was all about manifestations.
Right.
You know, we're going to come in and we're going to lay hands on people and they're going to fall out on the floor and we're speak in tongues and we're going to talk about how awesome it is and, you know, we're going to be spinning around, you know, going crazy and all that. And when it happens to us, it's amazing. And all that stuff was good. It served a purpose in getting us, and if it happens tomorrow, I'll say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
What He is doing in us right now, I feel like is so much deeper than what He was doing 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I believe that He is in the process. And here's the thing with this interruption of our dreams, is we have to be still. We have to be in a place of pause to receive that from Him so that He can call it forth at the appropriate time. You know, when Jesus came as a baby, how did He come as a baby? He came as a seed in Mary's womb.
Right.
And she still went through a first trimester. She went through a second trimester. She went through a third trimester. She went through 9 months of pregnancy before Jesus was birthed forth. Okay?
Right.
And there has got to be. I think that's what God's wanting to do in this whole pausing and slowing down and us coming into a place to where we can't be busy about, man, I'm just doing stuff and I'm making stuff happen and I got all these dreams for my life and for Honduras and for Victory
Right.
Fellowship and all of this stuff and we're going to make it happen and we're going to be excited and press into God. We just need to get everybody else excited. And God's saying, I need you to be still so I can impregnate you with some stuff that goes, not just be still in a place of inactivity, but being still in your spirit so you can receive from me.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I'm about to throw a little farm illustration out that the Lord spoke to me at work yesterday, and then some people be like, oh my gosh. But I've been a cattle farmer my whole life. I grew up, my family's had cattle ever since I can remember. Me and Lori's had cattle pretty much our whole married life. We run about 90 head of cattle. And when a cow is coming into a breeding cycle, that until she is ready to receive, she stays busy. She is out eating. She is, you know, taking care of the calf she's got with her right now. She's moving with the herd and all of that stuff. And the bull cannot impregnate her while she's busy doing all of that stuff. I had a picture the other day. One of my cows was entering into her breeding cycle, and there was four or five little young bulls, you know, that were hoping that they could, we're going to get lucky and breed her. And the old bull was just sitting there just laughing at them. And they were doing their thing and cutting on them. And she was busy eating and wasn't paying any mind to them and all of that. So she was getting close, but she wasn't ready. And only when she is ready to receive will she stand still for the herd bull to impregnate her. And he can't impregnate her until she is ready to receive, at which point then she'll stand still and receive him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and if that messes with some people, I'm sorry. Just come to the farm, you'll learn a lot. But I believe that this pause, Marty, this interruption of our dreams, is God trying to position us so that we can stand still, so that we are in a place to receive from Him, so He can impregnate us, not with our dreams, with His.
Amen.
Not with our essence, with His. And it's not that it's going to manifest tomorrow, but after this process, then He can speak a word, and His dreams will come forth.
That's good.
And it won't be my dreams, and it won't be, this is the way I expect this to be. This is the way I think this is going to look. You know, in our business world right now, man, with all of this coronavirus, we do the rally business, and all the rallies are shut down, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a huge drop in income and all of this stuff, and we're going to lose so much money because of the rallies going away and all of this stuff. And God's like, man, I got this, and our retail sales have been more than our rally sales were. And it's because God says, I'm in control of this, not the way y'all think this is going to go. And so I'm excited about this being still and allowing the interruption to be a place where God can come in. But it's only going to happen as we have a faith that explores into the mind of God, that gets beyond even the will of God, because we understand that one pretty good.
Right.
But the unknown is the dreams of God. So, you know, with that being said, Project World was poised at this year to blow up. I mean, it had momentum. It was, man, there were more mission trips planned for this year than had ever been planned.
Increase was off the chain.
It was. The
money, potential of being off the chain.
The money was coming in. Oh, yeah. You guys had good vision. This
Breaking
is what
even.
We're going to do.
Absolutely.
We're going to finish the ministry building.
That's
we're going
right.
to equip the people down there, and we're just going to blow up and launch out.
All
and then all
things.
Of a sudden, a worldwide pandemic.
That's right.
So what's in light of what we're talking, Bridge and Link, what we're talking about, Marty, with Project World and you guys specifically, and what you see coming out of that with the heart of Father God, which we've been on that journey, so we're knowing His heart and the goodness of His heart. So, man, you just take it running.
And I think kind of with all the illustrations and going back to Joseph and just the dreams and, I mean, we have no idea. I mean, we often think we have an idea of where we may be or what God's doing with us, and we enter into that, and it's all exciting, and all is good. But I can speak for me. I'm not sure about you. I never thought in a million years that we personally would be serving in Honduras for the last 10 years and where we are spiritually and even physically in Honduras. I don't know, maybe you thought you was going to be a pastor one day and be serving the Lord for 30 years as a pastor. I never thought in a million years. So even in my best, even just like Joseph, I mean, he really didn't know the depths of what it was. And the only way for us that we wound up where we are is just all birthed out of intimacy, going back to the cow scenario. I mean, it's in those times of the unknowing, or maybe the stillness, or it's all birthed, everything for me is birthed out of intimacy, everything. And I know that may mess with people, but it is everything, physically, spiritually. I mean, it's in those times to where Bill Johnson has a story about some guy, I don't know the guy's name, but anyway, he was a handball champion. I'm sure everybody's probably heard it, you know, and at the, you know, he's won all kind of championships in his one hand in handball. And, you know, I think somebody asked him, how did you wind up and beat all these people that had two hands? And, I mean, how did you do well with one? And he said, you know, it's easy. They have options. I don't have but one. And that's, in this time, is of the last 2 months or so, or however long this has been going on, I mean, it is. It's in those stillness, in those times of being able to reflect. And different things are really blossoming. I mean, for people in general, not just in ministries, but you've come to find what's the most important. It's kind of like that Martha and Mary story. I mean, you're busy about many things, you're troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's important here. And I believe it's that refreshing, and it's that time for us all, the church as a whole, I think it's that time of just now, of not just idleness, like what you were saying, that you can just stand still and complacency and idle. But no, I mean, we're still busy about the work, but it just looks different than what we anticipated. And learning the heart of the Father in that, and it's still through intimacy and Him revealing Himself and what's going on. And right now, you're doing food ministry. I mean, that's where we're concentrating our in Honduras anyway, is making sure or trying our best to, you know, make sure people have food. And, yeah, I mean, it's different than what we thought, but that's part of the journey. And God still works it out. I mean, we were talking earlier, and, you know, I mean, it'll all work out. One way or another, it'll all work out, and it's going to work out to His good. He just needs us to partner with Him. I mean, Romans 8:28 works, right? I mean, we all can quote it, and we all know it, but it hinges on us partnering with Him if all things work out together for good. And at the end result, I mean, if that's Romans 8:28, I think maybe 29 or 30, I mean, the end result of that, everything working out for our good, is us being formed and destined in His image. We are the barriers, or we carry His DNA. We're the ambassadors. We carry Him into the world, wherever we're at, whether if it's IBM, or if it's the farm, or if it's KST, or if it's in Honduras. We carry Him. Well, and that's the end result.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, you're talking about the end result is us looking like Him and releasing Him, and the words we say are releasing Him, you know, the essence of the Father. You know, because the Apostle Paul says, man, you follow me in the gospel that I preach. And he says, and then I'll give you Timothy. I'm going to send Timothy, and you follow him in the gospel that he's preaching. And, you know, that is the necessity of the reason that the earth can show forth the glory of who God is, whether it's a sunset or a beautiful tree or the greenness of the grass or wildlife that's created. The reason that it can show forth, as the Apostle Paul says, the glory and the beauty and the essence of the Father, is because it was still so that the Father could impregnate it with Him. And so that's the key, is that we have to be in this place to receive so He can impregnate Marty Smith with Jesus. So that when Marty Smith next week goes out, it's not, you know, sanctified Marty Smith. It's Jesus.
Absolutely.
In that skin.
Absolutely.
And so that's the one thing that we can't, the one ingredient we can't miss. You know, and that gives back to what you're saying. It's intimacy. It's intimacy.
Everything is birthed out of that place of intimacy. I mean, and that's that place of being still long enough to. And coming into our role, or our not so much duty, our assignments. I mean, you was talking about earlier, just about the. I mean, it's almost an expectation, but it's not like a mandate, but it's an invitation from Father for us to be carry His image into the earth. Right. I mean, it's the hope of glory is Christ in us.
Yes.
I mean, the hope of glory for the earth is for us to bear forth His image correctly. I mean, yeah. Paul says, I mean. Live a life worthy of the gospel. I mean, there is not a requirement, but there is an interaction. I mean, there's a partnership. I mean, there's, but it's a joy, right? I mean, it's an invitation, and we all accept it, and let's go at it. But then coming to understand who we are as kings and priests in a place of authority, of not overexerting that by any means. But receiving that humbly is no, we do have authority. Mm-hmm. And it's just because of our relationship with Him.
Right.
But coming into that place of learning who we are, now walk in that, right? I mean, but again, it's that partnership of learning who we are and then an invitation from Him and then walking that out. And it's that Galatians 2:22. I mean, it's not me that's living now. It's Christ living His life through me.
Right. His dreams.
Yeah, and so
dreams through Marty.
And because He's the only one that can bring them back. Because right. All we are, I mean, honestly, again, I mean, I go back to, I never thought in a million years, I couldn't have planned my life out any better than where it is right now. And I never thought that we would be where we are. So what makes me think or even imagine where we'll be in the next 5 years? I have no idea, but boy, it sure is fun. Right? I mean, it's that journey that I wouldn't take anything for. Is it complicated at times? Absolutely. But it's fun. I mean, it's Him living in me. I mean, what's better than that, right?
We're built for it. Yeah. Because He's in us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what we were created for.
Right.
So, that's the fun of part of the journey is just seeing what happens next. It's okay, God, what you going to do now? I'm yours. I mean, we've said yes, we're yours. What you going to do now?
All right, I'm going to throw out it's going to mess with people on a theological sense. Do you feel like God's dreams can be expanded? Here's where I'm going with this. And I know this, people are like, well, wait a minute. You know, God's all-knowing and all of this stuff and everything. But here's where I'm going with this is we come in and we play the sovereignty of God card too heavy in the fact that it removes responsibility from our lives. And we say, well, you know, that this is how much that my life is going to measure up to. And there's a lid to it, and that's it. And I personally think that, and this will mess with folks, but I personally think that it can be ever expanding. You know, when God said, let there be light, it never stopped. And the universe, scientists will tell you that the universe is expanding. Light is moving at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. And the universe is still expanding, okay? And I personally believe, and I can go in and look at a lot of different principles that I believe that Jesus taught with the talents and being rulers over 10 cities and different things like that, is I think that as we come in and as Marty Smith partners with God and he begins to explore God's dreams for his life, God's dreams for the things that God's called him to put his hand to, Project World, his ministry here in Bremen, Georgia, as he begins to partner with God in these things, I believe that God can come in and in a place to where it's like, all right, let's dream bigger.
How deep do you want to go? If we're going to if faith, how much territory do you want to gain? I mean, how deep into the very essence or the presence of God do you want to go? I mean, it's unlimited, right?
Right.
So, we're the only thing that's limiting Him.
Yeah.
So, if we can get out of our head and just really pursue the depths of who He is, then it's unlimited.
Then it'll unlock the depths of who you are.
Oh yeah, because more understanding comes to me.
Yes, because the depths of who you are intricately connected and tied to the depths of who He is. And so as you say yes to more and you press into more and you get into His dreams for you, then that expands you. And I think it gives God the capacity. You say, wait a minute. Yeah, we can limit God. I can limit God what He can do in me. Oh, I see it every day with people.
Absolutely.
I see it every day with people that come to this church. And I've seen it in my life.
Oh, absolutely.
And when we get to where we are expanding, then I believe His dreams, it's a gateway for His dreams to expand. And I believe they can continue just to, God's like, all right, yeah. I see it with us, with our farm. I've got these dreams for our farm. And, you know, we're redeeming the land. And we're doing all these projects and all these improvements. And Jeffrey's got a farm, and he could probably say the same thing. We come in, and you know, we get one thing done. We're like, okay, wow! All of a sudden, it's opened up something. We'll say, man, that now I can do this, and then now I can do this. When you do that, and it just keeps getting bigger and better and better and better. And I think that when we come in. When we come in and we partner with God and we say yes with God and we begin to let God's dreams, you know, all of these things impregnate us, then I think it just can continue to expand. And I think His dreams for us can get bigger. I believe God's dreams for me, I don't think the whole totality of my life is already set in stone. I believe there is a lot of potential for what if. And I think the determining factor for that is not the heart of the Father, because I know the heart of the Father, but the determining factor of how big God's dreams can get for my life is determined by my yes.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I'm going with that.
Absolutely. Well, and I think if we're going to walk in faith that explores, then there's a part of safety that has to leave us. Mm-hmm. You can't explore and live a safe life. I mean, you're going to have to go into some uncharted territory, somewhere that you've never been before.
Got to be stretched.
You've got to be stretched. I mean, and again, and I don't think any of us would sit here and say, spiritually, that we've all been stretched. To get us to where we are now, I mean, I'll just say for me, I've taken him out of one box, and I've put him back in some more boxes.
It's a bigger box.
But I put him still back in a box.
Right.
And when I think about faith that explores, I think about, it's a little nervous, right? I mean, when you're going, we went kayaking this weekend, or this past weekend, and it was somewhere that we'd never gone before, but it was that, you know, that your thought process, if you go in, or for me, when we were going somewhere that we'd never been, I wanted to make sure, you just look at it a little differently than if I had been there before. When I go to Honduras now, I never think about it. I'll pack the night before. I don't put much thought and effort into it because, you do the same thing over and over and over again. So when you go into some uncharted territory, I mean, there's risk involved. And it's that thing of dream big, take risk, trust God, right? Dream big, take risk, trust God, serve well. But it's that dreaming big and it's that taking risk. And there's an element of safety that we all like, but it's not the gospel. I mean, Jesus didn't live a safe life by any means, and it's not the life that he's called us into. But yet, there's part of safety for me. I mean, that sounds sexy. I mean, a little safety, yes, it's a good thing. But it's comfort. And again, that comfort, I mean, he's getting us out of all that. Right. I mean, you can do that in this Paul's time, too, just coming out of that, of being still and hearing him and just all the options, a lot of the options that we all enjoy have taken away, and it's streamlined. And there's something good about streamlining and just really narrowing in and focusing, pinpoint, laser focus. Jesus is more than enough, and he's the only thing we need. Anything other, it's gravy, but he's what we need, and he's got to be the main thing. And when he's the main thing and the intimacy is going on, then his dream, it's unlimited.
Right.
It's unlimited. I don't think you can find it anywhere in Scripture that it's not unlimited.
Right.
I mean, it's his essence and his being is so... His desire is to pull us so deep into who he is and for the fullness of who he is to be us to live out. I mean, it's understanding his fullness and us displaying his fullness in the earth. I mean, and that's our journey. But if we're not willing to take some risk into the depths of who he is, then we're going to play it safe and we're just going to live the life of normal Christianity.
Well, that's why I feel like the first phase of this journey into beloved identity is so crucial, because that's a gateway. That's a gateway to everything else. Because if he does love me, and he is crazy about me, and he is pursuing me, and he finds my delight is in you, my pleasure is in you, then that is the. It's almost like the disciples when they're crossing the sea and the storm is, you know, tempestuous and all of that stuff, but Jesus is asleep in the ship. And if I'm sitting here, and it's easy for me to say in 2020, but if I'm sitting here and I'm Peter and Jesus is asleep in the bow of the ship, I ain't worried about the ship sinking. You know, they're wigging out, but Jesus is in the ship. And us understanding beloved identity is the gateway for all of these going deeper and taking risk and thinking big and dreaming big. And so that's why it is so important for people to get the understanding of the heart
settled.
Of the Father.
Oh, you have to be settled. It's settled.
That's
it's not,
it.
It's unchangeable.
Yeah.
We don't go back there. I'm born again. I know I'm going to be with him in one day. Or one day I'm going to be with him for eternity, right? that's settled. I don't have to even open up that box again.
Right.
And now it's coming to that understanding of, yes, he loves me. He doesn't hold anything back from me.
Right.
He's a good, good father.
Right.
It's settled.
Right.
It's over. When bad things happen and things don't turn out the way I thought, it's not, oh, God, why did you do this to me? You don't go back to that. It's
right.
over.
Amen.
You move on.
Amen.
It's settled.
That's a
it's
good
settled.
Point. Because if you talk to us that have been walking in the faith for a while, and if I came to you and I said, Marty, when's the last time you doubted your salvation? You'd be like, psh, man, I ain't doubted my salvation since 1980, you know, whenever.
That's exactly right.
And because, like you said, that's settled, it's put down. And now we've come into this place to where the goodness of God and the beloved status is settled in the same way.
Absolutely.
So we don't even have to walk around that mountain and question that anymore. So now the next thing that we come into is that's being settled, I feel like, is... All right, what's the will of God? The will of God is for you to be a kingdom man. It's
right.
for all these things that we talked about.
Absolutely.
Not sin management, but the will of God is for all these.
Okay.
That's the thing that's going to get settled pretty. It's getting settled right now to where it's like, there's no question about
right.
what I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing,
right.
how I'm supposed to be interacting with my family, with the people God's put in my life.
Right. Right.
That's a settled thing too. So the next phase of this is, all right,
good.
Now let's get into the dreams of God for us. And for the things that he's called us to be and to do and all of that.
That's good.
And that's where where it should get unfathomable. You know, where we come in and we're like, okay, oh my gosh, God, you know, and he spoke some crazy words to me the last few years, you know, where I was kind of like, oh, really? And then even when I accepted the words, I put a lid on them. And God's like, why are you putting a lid on that?
Oh, yeah.
As we start growing and exercising in bigger things, then the big things don't seem as big, and then it's the next thing. We're about to close on our building that we're in at KST on a loan with it and all, and we're borrowing $500,000, and that would freak out a lot of people that I'm putting my John Hancock on a $500,000 note, but I don't think nothing about it. I mean, I'm just like, ain't no big deal. I mean, it's not one inkling of sweat, hesitation, or anything about it. But if you'd asked me 15 years ago, how would you feel about taking out a $500,000 loan? I'd have been like freaking out and saying, man, I just don't know if I could do that, you know.
Right, right.
Now it's a small thing. And that's the way our faith is supposed to be, that what used to be something that was so unimaginable, now it's a small thing. And now the next thing is like, wow. You know, and God just keeps growing it. The lid, it gets knocked off, but it keeps getting higher and higher and higher. So you jumping in on something, go for it.
Well, no, I mean, when you said your faith that grows, right? I mean,
yeah.
Your faith that grows, and then Romans 12, and it's talking about the gifts. And what I have underlined, and this is the Passion Translation, and this is Romans 12, verse 6, and this is the last half of it. But it says, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith that you have to prophesy or to... the gift of helps or whatever your gift is, but you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith that you have. And that's in that when you use the proportion, or if it's even in words of knowledge or whatever it is that you're really stepping out in faith and doing, but once you step out in faith, your faith grows. So you use the proportion that you have. So when you use that, then more comes and you get stronger and you get stronger. And then
yes.
it's not that. That $500,000, you were, you know, 10 years ago, a $500,000, no deal. Today, a $500,000, no problem. So it's that 10 years ago when you first began to learn about words of knowledge, oh, man, no, I don't know if I could do. I don't know if I could step out in that. But it's that element of taking risk that you have to step out and take risk and say, I believe I got a word. And so when that hits, then it's not that you're, you know, sliding and gliding on from now on, but I mean, it's still that element of taking risks, and it's that place of your faith continually growing. Your faith continually growing.
It makes me, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me about this, but it reminds me of something that your wife Krista told me. She said, you know, y'all had come and visited here years and years ago, right after God brought y'all out of mainline denomination, and she told me that she asked you after, you know, when y'all were going home or at the end of the service or something, she said, you think we'll ever be hand raisers?
That's right.
And at that time,
that
seemed like a huge stretch for her.
Oh, it was a stretch.
But today, now you're sitting here saying, God, you really want us to redeem a nation?
That's right.
Because the word says for us to ask for the nations.
That's right.
And that's something that I see God's just is going to use you guys and us that are partnering with you and Project World to redeem a place, the nation of Honduras. And we go from, do you think we'll be hand raisers one day, to can we really redeem a nation? And the answer to all of it is yes.
Yes.
Because, you know what? Because that is the not only the heart of the Father, not only the will of the Father, but it's the dreams of the Father.
Right.
That's His dreams for us. And you say, you know, a while ago when you read that scripture in Romans and it says you activate the stuff that's in you.
Right.
We were having dinner at the house a couple nights ago and my second to youngest granddaughter, Eden, she prayed. We were like, anybody, which one of y'all wants to bless the meal? And Eden's like, I will. And son, I wish I had recorded it. I mean, it was drop the mic, pray the house down. You know, I mean, it was like she is sitting there and she is praying for thanking the Lord for all this stuff, you know, thanking Him for, you know, our home and our warm home and the food we're about to eat and our family and the time we're spending together. And then she rolls in to start praying for you guys. And she starts praying for Marty and Krista. And she starts praying for Honduras and all the people. And she starts calling out. And this is my five-year-old granddaughter. And she starts calling out and praying for Jorge and Jesse. And then she starts praying for Hector. I mean, calling these people out by name. And then she's praying for all the, I'm getting messed up right now. She starts praying for all these children that are down there. And she's like, the ones that are sick and the ones that are hungry and all of this stuff. And, you know, and it just messed with me. I told James the next day at work, I said, dude, that's just a drop your mic thing. You know, I'm just going to let her preach next Sunday and I'm just going to sit down. But here's my point on that is as a five-year-old, she has no idea what is already in her. But as a father, grandfather, I don't know the depths of it, but I see way more than she does. And there is stuff that is in us, and there is stuff, if we will be still.
Oh, I believe it.
If we will be still, and we'll say yes, if we'll be still to the point of receiving Him, that He will continually impregnate us with, and the thing He's going to impregnate us with is His dreams. And I'm like, Lord, maybe I go here, but man, I believe these next generations are here and here and wants to build upon another and to build upon another and to build upon another. But it comes back to Him coming in and dreaming so big for our lives, concerning us, and get back to Lamentations 1:9, they took no thought for their future, what they were supposed to be. They did not have the capacity. The point I made about the children of Israel is they did not, in the folly of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, was not the fact that they improperly saw the land. They got it right. They saw the giants. They got it right. They saw the walled cities. They got it right. They didn't come back and tell a lie, but they improperly saw themselves.
Right.
And when we begin to see, that was the cool thing about Jesus. That's why Jesus could walk the way He walked, because He rightly saw who He was. He rightly knew who He was. And He said, I and my Father are one. And then He said, only do what I see my Father do. Only say what I heard my Father say. And it was because they were one and He rightly saw Himself. And so, you know, all of this is a launching pad to what God wants to do in us and through us. And that's to redeem this planet. That's for us to colonize and redeem this planet.
I think you see the body of Christ coming into its position or her position.
Yeah.
I mean, and finally taking on a role. Not, I shouldn't say finally, but coming to understand our role.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah.
And walking fully in that. And not understanding the depths of it, but actually begin the journey of understanding that there's more of a role that we should be taking that we've not taken. And really coming to understand who we are, and we've said it before, and you've said it before, but not just so much do church, but actually be what we are designed to be, and taking on the role of the authority, but but walking in the fullness of what he's designed us to walk in, and allowing and learn to partner and dream with him. And then that's when we'll see the fullness of who he really is and begin to see it in throughout the church and through us as being the bride. And again, that's unlimited. I mean, it's we can't even imagine. But we need to imagine. We need to dream.
Right.
But yet, all the while knowing that he's gonna one up us, right?
He's gonna expand it.
He's gonna expand it. So I mean, it's fun to start that journey of I'd take my marriage. I mean, I never dreamed that I could be loved by somebody as well as I've been loved by my wife, right? I mean, I really didn't know the depths of it,
right,
or what it could be. And it has really blown my mind as how well I could be loved by somebody. And that really ventures me off into my relationship with Father, is like, he really outdoes that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, and learning that. And so just with that, just not having it really all figured out and all planned out and really understand it all, but just being on that journey and allowing him. And again, I think you're on it when it's in this time of pause or a time of refreshing or a time of, you know, eliminating some options and just getting single focused in on really pursuing him and allow him to pursue us and catch us and really see what he's saying. And I like that Passion Translation when you said, what is that, the faith, the Hebrews 11? And I kind of got it. Let's see, what does it say? You got it. Yeah, when it says, I kind of got mine underlined, it says, let me get mine. I'm sorry.
You good?
It says, in verse 3, it starts out with, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created beautifully accordingly and by the power of God's word. And I've just got highlighted just words out of that one verse. And it says, faith empowers us to see God's word. And it's like, you know, he says throughout Scripture about, you know, if you have ears to hear. I mean, it's always about, or not always, there's a lot of hearing and a lot of seeing. And then Jesus saw and Jesus heard. He only, you know, did what he saw Father do, and he only said what he heard him say. And it's that faith that empowers us to see what he's saying,
right,
to see what he's doing, to hear what he's saying. And it's in that time of really of intimacy, of being still long enough to receive, of really getting fine-tuned into, okay, Jesus, you're my only option. My chips are in. I'm my yes is to you, and I'm all in. Let's go. And it's that exploration, if that's exploring of not really knowing and going into the unknown, which is not safe. But it's in that taking risk where you see him move the most, right?
Right.
I mean, and it's like, because it can't be me.
Right.
And it can't be you. It's him. And he gets the glory. And that's when it's like, oh, wow. And it's those moments of hearing your granddaughter pray, and it's like, okay, this is what I'm built for. I mean,
right.
And that's the glory of the Lord. And there's nothing better. I mean, chariots and horses. I mean, David talks about it as, dude, if I can just stand in the threshold. Right?
Yeah.
If I can just get to the threshold of the house of the Lord and just being in your presence. And I mean, a day in your presence is better than a thousand elsewhere. I mean, I can be in the best mansion, but if I can just stay at the threshold of the doorway of entering into your presence, just being in his presence, and that's where the time of refreshing comes from.
Yeah.
All the things, all his glory is just being in his presence, and that's where things change.
Right.
And just being patient enough and slow enough to just be with him. And then that's where everything's birthed from. We're just receiving. I don't know. It's kind of good stuff.
Awesome, man. I was listening to Bren Waddell the other day, and Bren was talking about one of the things that he's a pastor up in North Carolina. And Bren was saying one of the things that the Lord had was really, really strongly speaking to him was that I need you to streamline, to narrow the number of voices that you're listening to. That there is, not that he was listening to bad things, but he was listening to too much stuff. And he said, I need you to get in a place to where you really consolidate what you're hearing so that I can correctly speak to you. And so what I want to do is challenge, as we kind of wrap this up today. I'm like Bill Johnson. I've been ministering for over 30 years. And I've only got one sermon. It's just, it just keeps growing and evolving and all that. So sure we'll pick up on a lot of these themes and thoughts a little bit later on. But in kind of wrapping this up, what I want to encourage everybody that's listening to this in talking about his dreams and the journey into his dreams and all that stuff, as you allow yourself to be still and to slow down and to streamline and narrow up the voices that you're hearing and all the stuff that you're hearing, as you get into this position, you're going to find that God's going to start speaking stuff to you, and you're going to be like, you'll know it ain't you. The devil will try to convince you that it's you. But before the enemy can talk you out of it, convince you otherwise, Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And when we get into this place of intimacy, and all goes back to intimacy, when my wife calls me, she does not have to say, hey, this is Lori.
Not at all.
As soon as I hear the first, syllable coming out of her, I know it's Lori calling me. And it's because of intimacy together. And when we get to this place to where, and I want to challenge everybody, that as you start doing these things that we're talking about, God is going to start speaking to you. And a lot of this stuff that he's going to start speaking to you is he's going to start revealing his dreams. And it's going to blow your mind. But let him impregnate you with that, because he will speak it to come forth. He'll activate it in due season. One thing I found in my life is that typically when God comes and lays a big word on me for my life, it's usually about a year before I see the realization of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's already real and it's already true and it's already happened in the invisible realm, okay? Absolutely. It's already happening in the invisible realm. I just hadn't seen the manifestation yet. And I've seen that for the last, I'll say at least 5 years, very strong. I've been noticing it for the last 5 years. And it is holding true. God will come in. He'll speak something to me in November, and I'll be like, okay, and I'll wrestle with it. And then by about January, I'll believe him. And then about 7-8 months later, then I'll start seeing the manifestation of it. There's that gestation period.
And it's in your heart. I mean, that's like Mary pondered these things in her heart.
Yes.
I mean, you ponder that and you keep that. I mean, you water it. You feed it. You feed it. I mean, it's salvation. I mean, with the heart, man believes, but salvation comes by confession, right? I mean, in your heart, you believe. Confession comes by salvation.
As she pondered it in her heart, you know what she did? She took care of it, and she took care of it. She guarded. The word says, above all else, guard your heart. It's what it says in Proverbs.
Absolutely.
But as she took care of that thing, you know what she could do? She could feel it growing.
And give birth.
She could feel it growing in her womb. For 9 months, she felt that thing growing. She felt the Messiah growing in her womb. And as you guard these dreams that God has, and he begins to reveal them to you, as you guard them, all of a sudden you'll feel them grow until they become reality.
That's good.
And maybe, man, that's a word for somebody out there tonight, is you're saying, man, I believe God spoke this to me, and I'm just not, I'm not seeing the reality of it and all of this stuff, and I just don't see myself as being that kind of a person and all of that. Well, man, you guard it, and you watch it grow. You nurture it, and you watch it grow, and then God will speak, and right here it says, he spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that's seen. Everything we see gave birth. And this is a faith chapter. I believe it was talking about, I believe, this is crazy, but it's just the way I feel. I believe that not only is it talking about the faith that we had, I believe that all of this stuff that was void and without form, I believe it had faith. A measure of faith. You say, how can an inanimate object have faith? I believe that the earth, I believe the earth knows when I walk on it as a redeeming the earth. I believe it does. I know it did with Jesus.
Absolutely.
Because he said, hey, these rocks about to cry out. They knew who Jesus was walking by. But anyway, I believe that had a measure of faith. So if we will come in with a measure of faith and believe that he's an accomplisher.
Oh yeah.
He's a fulfiller. He's a completer of what he set in motion. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And that ain't talking about just getting you to heaven one day.
No.
That's talking about growing Marty Smith to such a place that he's like, that's what I'm talking about.
Accomplish all that he has set forth to us accomplish on the earth.
Yes.
Every bit of
that's
it.
That's it.
Vision for the future. That's what I'll be quiet on this, but this is Paul. You're talking
about the future. Go ahead and wrap us up.
Well, you said in Lamentations just about they didn't see themselves rightly and they didn't see the future. They didn't consider the future. And this is Paul, but this is out of the Passion Translation. It says, I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead.
Yeah.
Fasten our hearts to the future of all that he has dreamed for us. That's what we press for. That's what we press for. We don't think about yesterday's gone. Today's about to be gone. But we press to the future. And we fasten our hearts to the future and all he has planned for us. And yes, it's good. Right?
Yes.
It's good. He has good destined for you.
Yes.
It's to be the very likeness of the one who purchased you. So, I mean, we're Jesus in the earth. That's a good thing. And you just fasten your heart to the future. Fasten your heart to the future. That's what we're focused on. All the options are gone. We're pinpoint, boy. We're going after it. We're going after the future with him.
Amen. Until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
your
it.
Assignment.
That's our assignment.
That is it. Amen.
Well, amen. Well, I've enjoyed tonight. I've enjoyed dialogue, Marty. And we hope and pray that this... God has impregnated you with some stuff as you listen to this or maybe just help grow it, the stuff that's already in you. And, man, just keep pressing in. Just intimacy is the key, as Marty said earlier. And so excited about kingdom living. I'm excited about being a kingdom man. No more exciting time than this point in my life right now. And just have great expectation, anticipation of what's next in our personal lives, in what ministry looks like with Project World for the nation of Honduras, and just some good, amazing stuff. God is a good God. Yahweh is amazing, and he loves us so much. So y'all be blessed, and we'll talk with you soon.